Blog Talk Radio.
Why is this thing not doing right if I'm in? I sound like them. So that means if you hear my voice, everybody else should hear it too. But I just felt, I don't know what is wrong. Okay. Could you turn that TV down some, my mom? Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Does everybody hear me? Do you hear me, brother? I mean,
I hear you.
Okay, you hear me, Akbar. Okay. Okay, I'm in. And Suja and them, I have them in, but I sound like a brother Suja. Do you hear
me? Got
to laugh. Okay, good. Well, they hear me. Okay. Okay. Assalamu alaikum, first of all. The Allah's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. There was, there's no God but Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. And I bear witness to the Prophet Muhammad, the soul of the prophets. Peace and blessings ever be upon him. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. With Allah's name, merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, cherished and sustained of all the world. Merciful the Redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Trust the straight way, the way of those on whom has bestowed thy grace, those as were thou favors upon, and not those who go astray. I mean. Okay, welcome again to the Blog Talk Radio Show. We have a sign up here. We had a time getting on. We did. Because they had a sign that says we're currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. And I but our I just saw Brother Amin on, and he went off. And this he has scheduled, you know, the 26th. Hold on 1 second. Okay, hi, Colleen. We had a quick visitor, and I was just checking it out. Sisters United is nice. They were giving out the packages and all. And they bought us one. I had to run up there to the door. So she called me, and it kept not responding when she was calling me. And that's because I was on a Blog Talk radio show just now, so she just, it was a rush. You know, I have a hard time trying to walk without my cane. Oh. Okay. We're back. Now, and remember, if it was not but three of us on, Karan, myself, and Akbar, so if you have anything to say, don't forget to just push one on the receiver, and you brought it to, into the cube. And as we know that... the Blog Talk Radio Show is sponsored by Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. S is for science. T is for technology. E is for economy. Engineering. I'm sorry. I'm looking at something. Okay, engineering and M is for math. Got it right. Okay, S for science. S for science. T for technology, E for engineering, and M for mathematics. Got it. We got it. It was a rush for me just now trying to do what I had to do. So that's why I'm out of breath now. But thank God, familiar people on here that knows this case and the situation. So that's a blessing right there. Yeah, when we first came on, we had a lot of problems with this show, trying to get connected. And they had a bigger sign up here talking about they're currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. And that's when I saw Brother Amin come on. And then I saw Brother Sujata. I saw Brother Muhammad, too, 706 from Columbus, Georgia, but he signed back out. But that sign still pops up here. They're having a problem. They wanted to end the episode, and then they saw that I had signed in. But then they just, I was able to come in. I don't know if Brother Amin had to do some little extra or what, but whatever it was, it's through now. And we can eliminate the music now. It's always a good start or spirit builder, you know, when to hear something other than just talk, you know, just talk, other than just talk. You hear something you like, especially if other people are on, it's good encouragement for them as well, especially the title of the program, which is The Message of Concern. So, and that also helps some explanation to the listeners when they come on. If they do hear the theme song of The Message of Concern, let them know what our show is all about. Because Brother Wali Ali does explain, and he elaborates quite well with that. So, okay, welcome everybody. I just opened it and I just gave the explanation of STEM and who was sponsored by, and also don't forget the co-sponsor, Brother Amin Muhammad. And I also mentioned push one on your receiver if you have any input. Also mentioned that, and I hope we do have some input tonight. I hope we have some knowledge to share, because and there's no excuse, but your mouth gets dry if you were the only one talking the whole 2 hours. and not only that, it makes you feel as if the message is not being absorbed, or the message is not clear when we just do talk and talk and talk and not have any questions or not have anybody else to contribute. anything to it. So please contribute whatever it is you have to say. But as we know, we are in, and we all realize that, we are in this, what they call, holiday celebration of Christmas. And before we go into that, let's go see, because I'm sure we're going to have some elaboration on that and some input on that as far as the conversation and something new, new knowledge that we have gained as far as Muslims and can share with the non-Muslims that tune in or don't tune in, just listen. You know, I mean, don't tune in as far as putting their hands up and want to say anything, but all over the world, you know, this blog talk show is being heard national, worldwide. Okay, Brother Amin, I see Brother Amin's name here as being flagged. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Amin.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, Brother Amin. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless us, continuously bless us, because he most truly and sincerely has blessed us with the leadership that we have and given us the book and the explanation of the book, leadership, someone to demonstrate and model the book for us, alhamdulillah. So we are really a blessed community. You know, we have to keep our vigilance and spread what we have to our people, you know, and our people really is all people, but especially our families, African-American people, especially. Alhamdulillah, I was down coming home, and I saw the ladies of the night, but they was in broad daylight, and he's walking down Figueroa Street here, and their whole backside was out. I guess they had some type of bikini on, but walking down the street in some stiletto high heels, and alhamdulillah. So it shows me how blessed we are to have Muslimas. You know, people may criticize, say negative thing about our Muslimas, how they dress, but they dress in a godly way, the way that they're covered. They're not at all like those women walking down the street, you know, walking in high heels, all made up, you know, eyelashes, all that, and walking down the street, and the whole backside out, and men, you know, and we wonder why people disrespect us and look down on us, because we haven't maybe muscled up the moral strength to tell the world we're not going to tolerate it. We're not going to tolerate it. And when these Christians, because that's Christianity. That's the results of Christianity. Well, no, I won't say Christianity. That's the results of the church. The church, you know. And tolerating all that. You got all these churches. That's what Malcolm X said. You got storefront churches and liquor stores all over the world. Storefront churches and liquor stores. That's the church. Tolerating that. And so we have to keep doing what we're doing and modeling what we're doing and bring our own children up in a way that, in order to show the world, you know, that's something. I sent out a copy of my flyer that I've been taking around to the masjid, announcing our weekend school here. We finally kind of like got at least a plan going, how we're going to conduct the weekend school. And so we're going to play chess also, too, and have our children come to the chess club here on Compton Boulevard, 1333 West Compton Boulevard, East, no, 1333 East Compton Boulevard. Come to the chess club, and we're going to meet there, and also conduct our Islamic studies and our Quranic studies and everything, and then we're going to affiliate with the BIM, the Southern California Space Museum, Downey, and also California Science Center, you know, alhamdulillah. Some things are happening, I hate to admit it, but some things are happening at the Tomorrow's Aeronautic Museum. Some things are happening. It's a little technical problem that is happening, but I talked to the leadership, and they said they're going to resolve it. And in that way, the children will be able to come there and learn how to fly airplanes, learn how to fly airplanes, to get them interested in science and mathematics and flying airplanes. So we are keeping it together, and we're expanding now, and it's good. We're going to use the chess club kind of like as our meeting place, a chess academy, and a sister named Deloach, you know, alhamdulillah. So Palestine, travesty, according to Norman Finkelstein, he's the number one. They say he's the one of the most important. He was the fifth most important political science in the world. They say Finkelstein is the fifth most important political scientist in the world, and he's been studying the Israel-Palestine situation for 30 or 40 years, and he is. He says he stand up for truth and justice, and he really is exposing the Israeli thugs, these hoodlums, thugs, Israeli thugs killing up all those children, 8,000-9,000 children. Now, what Hamas did, you know, when it murdered 1,200 Israelis on October 7th, what Hamas did is they killed up, like the number that Finkelstein gives out, he says 1,200 Israelis were murdered in that attack. Of the 1,200 that were murdered, 30 were children. So you could see the restraint, even though Hamas went and killed up, according to Finkelstein, 1,200 Israelis. Look at the proportion of children that they killed. Only 30 children, according to Finkelstein. Only 30 children, you see, were. And that could have been a crossfire. That could have been whatever accidents, that could have been whatever, but only 30. Now look what Israel has done. Look what Israel has done. Israel has killed up about 20,000 Palestinians, and some people say it's way more than that, but let's use that number because, you know, like that's what the news is putting out. 20,000 Palestinians, men, women, and children, right? But of that 20,000, 8,000 are children. 8,000, not the 1,200 with the 30 children that are mass murdered, but 20,000 and then 8,000 children. Just think, 8,000 children. And the reason that the numbers are growing is because so many people, not only children, are buried under the rubble, under where these F-16 jets have strafed and bombed these buildings, and these buildings have collapsed and fell on these children, and men and women, you know. So they are buried under the rubble. And a according to the Minister of Defense in Israel, his name is Yoav, Y-O-A-V, his last name escapes me, but he's the Minister of Defense, the Defense Minister. He says that they were going to cut off food, cut off water, cut off fuel, and cut off electricity. Now, why is the fuel electricity important that he going to cut it out? And that's a recipe for genocide. Why? Why the fuel? Because the fuel operates the cranes and the bulldozers and all the other equipment that is used to lift those heavy tonnage of rubble off the people. So if you don't have no fuel, how are you going to run those trucks and cranes and, you know? So they said they go cut off the food, the water. Now, according to Finkelstein, 7,000 children are starving because they cut off the food and the water, you see? So, you know, this is what is happening. You know, we have to stand up and speak out. Have to, you know, we're not going to be like the people who saw us in slavery, moaning, and hurting, and everything, and they didn't come to our rescue, and they didn't approach the U.S. government and say, you know something, whether it's from Arabia or whether it's from Syria, or whether it's from Nigeria or wherever, we don't have evidence of them coming to the White House and speaking up and saying, you know, you really got to stop doing what you're doing to these African Americans. You are killing them and terrorizing them and raping them and everything. But so we have to be better, because a lot of them blessed us. We can't have this amount of blessings and we don't be Khalifa. We're supposed to be the Khalifa on earth now. Now that we got the knowledge, we're the Khalifa. And so we're going to stand up and speak out, stand up and speak out and let the world know that we're not afraid, that Allah has blessed us, that we have courage and we have strength and we have morals. You know, and we have character, and we have integrity, and we know that no human being are supposed to be suffering like the people and children and women are suffering in Palestine. You know, we have to stand up like we have. We're grateful and thankful, you know. Let there arise out of you, O Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajim. Let there arise out of you a people, you see, and arise out of the, you know, that'll speak out and tell the truth, you see, and insist upon justice and morality and fair treatment of human beings, the human beings that Almighty God created. You know, speak out. So, alhamdulillah, this is our mission. Imam Muhammad said, I was born for this mission, and he taught us. See? And we have to pick up the mission, and we have to be the Khalifa in the world. We have to be the parent. Somebody's going to have to be the parent. Somebody's going to have to be the mama and the papa of the world, because evidently these people are errant people. These people are misbehaving, you know, brats and, you know, mentally ill. You know, somebody got to man the nut house. Somebody got to control the nut house. You know what I mean? The nut house is that's going on here in the world. And, you know, it's us. We have to be the mama and the papa. We have to be the parent. Somebody got to be the parent. You see, all praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So that's what's happening. That's a little bit of what's happening in Palestine. Alhamdulillah. And if any of y'all, you know, I'm moving out. What we're doing, we're moving out on this weekend school, and we want to get these children who are going to public school to come to our weekend school for brothers, good brothers and sisters, could minister to them and teach them and be role models to these children on weekends until we could do better. I went to Masjid Bilal, Friday, Juma, and I was looking at the prayer schedule. And I said, something is wrong with this prayer schedule. And I looked at it and I took a picture of it. And it was calligraphy now. The calligraphy was I'm pretty sure, you know, sometimes it's hard to read calligraphy. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this piece of calligraphy, you know, was written and then it had peace be upon him. So they were talking about Prophet Muhammad with calligraphy, Muhammad. But the Muhammad is a meme and it's a ha and then a meme. You know what I mean? That's how you pronounce Muhammad in the Arabic. And that ha was represented as a snake. The ha in Muhammad was represented as a snake. So I took a picture of it and I sent it around to people. I texted the picture and I told them this picture was taken 12/22/23 at Masjid Bilal, the new Masala. And I said, this is Muhammad. And it looked like I told people to look at the hat. And do you see a snake? I do. I see a snake. Do you? I asked the question. And people was texting me back. Say, yeah, I see a snake. That's a snake. With his mouth open, coming out of the hat. In Muhammad. You see? So Imam W.D. Muhammad told us many years ago to read this book called Subliminal Seduction, how the enemy of mankind and human beings embed different messages in the writing and embed in, it could be film, and they, you know, have different messages that they embed. And in the case of Subliminal Seduction, they had pictures of different things, and they embedded things that you couldn't see with the naked eye. But once somebody pointed out to you, you could see how they embedded things. And Imam Muhammad told us a long time ago, brothers and sisters, we have to think deep, you know. Imam Muhammad said that God, they say God, G-O-D, but Imam Muhammad says even Jews, they don't write God, G-O-D, write God, G, maybe a hyphen, D, or G, a space, D. In other words, leave the O out, because people who read from right to left would come and say, oh, this is dog, this is dog, D-O-G, because they read from right to left. So Imam Muhammad was really prepping us for what I discovered just the other day, last Friday. I saw it. I said, because I was a student of Brian Wilson Key. Brian Wilson Key was the one who wrote the book Subliminal Seduction. In the book Subliminal Seduction, Brian Wilson Key, he acknowledges Imam W.D. Muhammad. He says, something very interesting happened the leader of the Muslims here in the United States told his people to buy the book and read the book that I wrote. This is Brian Wilson Key said. He says, this is in his second edition, because he brought out the first edition. He says, yeah, and my book sales skyrocketed because the people under this leader, Wallace Muhammad, or W.D. Muhammad, I don't know what he said, but, you know, he says he told his people to buy that book, my book. And he says, get the book. And he says, my sales skyrocketed. He says, and thank, I'm pretty sure he said, thank Imam W.D. Muhammad for just telling his people. In fact, Imam Muhammad had a book list. He was always reading these books and sharing these books with us. And we would go, could be Daniel Goldsman, The Brain, The Human Brain, or I think Goldman wrote another book called Unconscious Mind, and all that. Imam Muhammad, according to Amir, and he had a bookstore once upon a time. So Imam was a reading person. He used to like to read. And he talked about Something is a Dirty Street. That brother is another brother. And not only Sublime Seduction, but also all kind of books. What was that other book that he recommended? But anyway, you know what I'm saying. All you old-timers, you know. Imam told us and recommended us and told us to read books. Read the books, you know, and Sublime Seduction. And so we started after reading, looking at the Bible. You know what I mean? How they embedded different things in the Bible. We started looking closely at everything. And so at Masjid Bilal, the people who designed that prayer schedule put a snake in there. Look at it. I'm pretty sure I sent it to everybody. Look at that right there. And that's a snake for the ha, open mouth snake, you know. So I've seen calligraphy where they use a man's testicles and his erect penis in the calligraphy. You know, the erect penis was kind of like the minaret. It goes way up there, and at the top it has a hole in it, and the testicle was kind of like La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasul, all that right there. I said, look at this. And I showed it to people. This has been some years ago. I discovered how they did. They say the Hindus believe in phallic worship. In the Hindu religion, they believe in worshiping the men's genitalia and women's sexual organs, too. That's a part of their religion, the Hindu religion. So when a lot of the Hindus were converting to Al-Islam, they brought over some of those practices from Hinduism, worshiping the phallic symbol, the sexual organs, stuff like that. But I agree with that to a certain degree, but I believe some of them is just devilish and making mockery. And they get among their, you know, some of their devilish friends, and they laugh. They say, look what we've done to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, or look what we've done to Muhammad here, because this is a brand new masjid here in Los Angeles, and look how we've had a prayer schedule, a snake coming out of Muhammad, a snake. Ain't that something? You know, look at it. I sent it to you if you don't. So lastly, I'm asking people to call me and see if you can make a donation to what we're doing with the weekend school. You know, I never have really asked for a donation over the air, but the weekend school, I think the children are worth it. Don't you think the children are worth it? Our children who are stuck in public school and got to go to school with Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and hip hop, the gangster rap, and I'm going to shoot you NIG, I'm going to whatever, and call the B word and the H word in them schools and the public schools. And they bring all that filth to public school, and our children have to go and be among that. And so we're trying to take them. This is what Imam Muhammad told us to do. This is what Imam Muhammad told us to do. He said, go to the public school, and y'all have to and tutor those children and give them counseling and good role models so they could, and they ain't got to go to school with the gangsters and with the thug life, you know. So I'm sure it's worth it. So if y'all could, if anybody could call me, give me a call at 213-925-8771. That's my number, 213-925-8771. And if you agree with me and Imam Muhammad that these children need help and we are here to help them, and if you want to give me a donation, give us a donation, give their children a donation, so we could run this program as best we can, go ahead and help out. Alhamdulillah. Just do what you can. And I'm not saying, you know, just do what you can, because Allah's blessing me to keep it up anyway. But do what you can and get some of them blessings, because we do believe in divine intervention, you know. Alhamdulillah. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Jahia. Thank you very much. And alhamdulillah, I turn it back over to you. Assalam alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thanks to you, Brother Amin, for sharing all those wonderful wordings and explanations and things that we can also look out for and be aware of when we do. You know, see a flyer and try and decipher it and look into it to see about this snake and all this other stuff and pay more attention to subliminal subduction. I remember that book. Yes, we did. Get it when it first came out and read it, and it was it started out with the intermissions at the movies. But you would see people buying popcorn and doing the intermission and different other things, and then they would see where it would cause other people from that commercial that they would put on there on the screen during intermission at the movies. Other people see that and they would get up and buy corn, popcorn, all that stuff also. That was an easy one, a light one. But so many ways now for subliminal subduction to be noticed, you know, but a lot of people don't know the definition of it is subliminal subduction. But when you share knowledge like this that Brother Amin just shared, then from now on, you can't forget it. You can always be able to go back and reflect what he has said and look at these things and look, you can just look intentionally to see if you do notice any of these type of signs that they put there that we're not, wouldn't be expected to notice, you know. May as well be brought out. Noticing these things. So please, sisters and brothers, pay attention to those things, you know, and think deep, like your ma'am said, think deep. Thank you, Brother Amin. Thank you so much. And Brother Suja or Sister Karan, you have your hand up. I want to recognize that now. Oh, yeah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's up, sister? I shouldn't say it like that. What you got for us, sister?
Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Oh, I just want to add on to something that Brother Amin had said about subliminal seduction. That you know that it was taught that your subconscious mind, that's why you don't see it, because It is something that your subconscious mind picks up. And a lot of times you don't see it, but your subconscious mind picks up. Even like with colors, certain colors will bring certain thoughts and move to your, you know, to you also. So that's
right.
One thing I want
thinking,
to add.
Thinking deep. Yeah, you're thinking deep to bring all those things to you. That's right.
Huh?
I said, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry for me to be interrupting. I thought I was talking to Sulfur or Laura. Yeah, you're right. All those things will come to mind when you see, you know, like what you just stated, different things, because that's called what Imam W. Muhammad said, you think deep. You're thinking deep when you're looking at these. These things.
Right, and then a lot of times, I know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he had gave an example one time. He said, you'll go into the store to buy one thing, and then when you come out, you have a whole basket full of things because of the subliminal seduction, especially they have it on that Calon cornflakes dealing with the tiger. He said that right there, that subliminal seduction that was there. Alhamdulillah. And also, I was going to tell And also, I'm going to tell, you know, to ask him each time that he gives support, you know, asks us to give support to the Palestinians, also mention our dear brothers also that's here in the United States of America, that's Sergeant Hassan Akbar, and also that was former known as Ralph H. Brown, but is now he's Elamine Shabazz. You know, those brothers, mm-hmm. they've been in there for 20 years, and they have proof that the crime that they placed on them, they didn't do that. They have evidence, hard evidence, and mm-hmm. the judge, Supreme Court, said, I don't care. So that's there's something right there. We should be seeking justice for our brothers. Here it is. They said, I don't care. He said, I don't care what you got. We ain't letting you out. Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So we need to start, you know, also add that on there, too. And that'd be a double blessing, you know, for us. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Anybody else have anything to say about that? Well, Brother Lamy mentioned, I also want to mention what he had said about the dress wear that the outfits that the sisters are wearing. And going out in revealing clothes and almost half nude, you know, to be noticed, and they don't know what. I want to quote this right here. What my husband says all the time: sisters may have a big backside and big legs or whatever physically, but they have nothing in the brain. You know, they may use those things as excuses to get ahead and get them what they want, or cause them enjoyment, but what about the brain itself? You know, where's your mind? You know, and how is it going to help you? How are those things that being dressed nudely going to help you except for further and further in the devil's game, and probably found dead somewhere too sometime. You know what I'm saying? They're just throwing their lives away. Okay, want to mention that too. We have to learn how, and I did want to mention too, though, you see, you call him Apostle Gino Jenkins, who has a program on the TV. And as a matter of fact, he's on there now. And I watch him because he says some interesting things. He seems to be a little bit confused, but he does. I listen to most of the things that he point out that seem to make sense, you know. And I go in and think about them and marinate, like the young people used to say, let that marinate what he has said, so I can be able to understand really where he's coming from. But he does have dress wear for the women that come there. You know, he has a dress code, and they wear long dresses. And the first one, I was working for the VA, not the prison thing. It was at the VA, we had TV. Yeah, looked at the TV on my lunch one night. And saw him, and saw the women. And that's the first thing I paid attention to. I saw this new set of Muslims. I saw there's a new group of Muslims who were, you know, coming out on the horizon or whatever, you know, that we didn't know about. But no, there was, they call him Gino Jenkins. There was his congregation, the women in his congregation. So, and he talks about the women, too, that dress like what Brother Amin has just mentioned. He does. He takes them down through there. They listen to him. They would probably never put on another short dress or a revealing clothing, you know. But all this good, you know, we share knowledge and all this good, but all this truth. Maybe inshallah they will wake up and realize what they're doing to themselves. You know, because they say, well, those kind of people make it bad for the ones who are trying to dress modestly, you know, and trying to carry themselves in a respectful way. They may make it seem bad for us, but they're not making it bad for us, really. They're making it bad for themselves only, you know what I'm saying? Because nowadays it's so out there until people really don't pay them any attention anymore. You may find some lustful men or even women as well, you know, who may give them a little play, like a compliment of some kind that they think is a compliment, you know, but it ain't going nowhere, you know. You know, like they used to say, it may sound good, but it's not going anywhere. You know, it may sound good, but it's not going anywhere. Okay, I see another hand. You know, I'd like to recognize this hand. Sister Karan, are you done?
I just want to say one thing. When you mentioned a minister, Pastor Jennings, is that you know, we was listening to him too, but I think he sold out. He came on one day, and he got the doing the you know, talking in tongues and doing that little holy dance that they do, and then he said Jesus was God. I said, wow, he sold out, you know. So I think he has sold out right now.
Okay, then we have someone else too that's here who'd like to recognize. Okay, I think it's Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Brother Muhammad, assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi barakatuh. I thought that was you.
Alhamdulillah.
You got some.
Udubillahi, min ashaitani rajim, bismillah rahmani rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We thank Allah much for being on this message of concern. And I was happened to just finally get on. I called earlier. I see the program was starting off late, but
trying to get in through the wire. You know, they had some difficulties connecting us.
Yes, ma'am. And I happened to be in your hometown earlier today. You know, and I was coming back home. And I just had to laugh. I said, well, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I just left your town this morning, I brought up there some brand-new winter material overgarments for the sisters, inshallah, who was interested in a couple of the sisters over at the community restaurant there at Masjid al-Islam, you know, was able to be the recipient of that. But like Quran say also, too, you know, we have to remember, like I was listening to Imam Muhammad over the weekend, and he was explaining, you know, to us, reminding us again that every revelation that comes down to us for our guidance and our direction, you know, Allah lets Shaitan to see them also, you know, and Shaitan tried to turn them any kind of way he can. But most of all, Imam said in his own words, was that he duplicates whatever we come up with to make it easy for the human family to come back to unity, to recognize that they're just one creation, they one human soul, or whatever different levels of education we have received over the thousands of years the Lord has blessed us to be here, you know, in the division, labeling that Shaitan has put on us, you know. They will do anything. They will duplicate anything to attract or make the human being deviate and take the easy way out in the language that they like to use. You know, they like to take the easy way out. Forgetting also how they even duplicated that, because Allah said he has made al-Islam easy for the human family. So the many ways of community life in this world here, be it Christianity, be it Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever, you know, they try to appeal to your easiness, your laziness, your efforts to the go the way that is attracting to each other and not to the word of Almighty God of law. They try to make it easy. So we have to be careful because they're only reflecting us. Even back in the cowboy days, you know, the women back in the Christian women back in the days of the 1800s and 1700s,
right.
They wore bonnets. They wore long
yes.
dresses, you know.
Right.
But still, that did not affect their efforts to free themselves from the wrongdoing
right.
of watching slaves being hung, watching robbery, watching murder for cattle and land. They still stood back in silence, you know. And in many occasions, they brought forth chicken and biscuits and potato salad and babies while they went to the hanging of their slave who raised their kids, you know. And the same in other cultures have done the same thing to each other and to themselves. So we have to appreciate when we see what we're supposed to be doing in other people. But remember, it still came from Almighty God Allah to us. And he wants us to model it in a highly moral fashion, a highly sincere, loving fashion, and not use his window dressing to attract people to the fire. So, yeah, just like Sister Ka'am said, you know, they might do much good. They might do 99. Imam Muhammad says, he implied 98%. But he said, but they always put their two sin in it, you know, to make you deviate. And we are the one who's responsible for getting this message of concern to everyone. And whatever they send back to us is only a reflection of them taking out of what benefits them out of the truth and using it to attract the weak believers, those who they have already have under oppression and ignorance, and keep them that way. So we have to continue like we do all the time, and we need to thank Allah much that he reminds us to keep doing it. We remind them that the whole truth is what keeps a human being free. A test that Satan is running through trying to prove that he's better than us. And our women and our young female daughters and things, we have to give them more parental awareness that Allah is the best. I mean, Allah is Akbar, and we are the best of creation. So though others might emulate us, duplicate us, when it comes down to the bottom line, if they're not living it like we are striving to do and like many of us are doing, inshallah, because we keep the spirit inspiration out there. But look at our children. I see that at it. They're wearing long dresses, but they're form-fitting long dresses. Our young teenage girls, 18, 17, are wearing seductive long dresses. They're showing every curve in their body. You know, showing their bosom, showing their crack in their rear. They're so tight. Many of them. Our men are looking like women. They're wearing dreads and things all down. You don't know who they are until they turn around. Look at our children. Our young boys running around looking like little pickaninny girls. We have to remember that we don't need no one to show us what to do. Allah is educating and guiding us personally, every human being who wants to believe. So that's why he has told us, I am not going to change your direction until you change it your own self. So we must be careful when we glorify or think that we glorify giving someone some credit. Well, we have to remember that it's only something they have already stole from us or duplicated from us, so that they can try to keep the people hoodwinked, like Malcolm X used to say. So just want to say that because it's not how good you are. It's how right you are. Because we know sometimes good ain't enough. So those good Christian yes and women we see doing that, alhamdulillah, the great Buddhism woman, alhamdulillah. But bottom line, their deeds and actions, it's got to make them recognize that everything that they do that is good, it should be right. Right to please Allah and not to please your fellow human beings. as you are saying, that a lot of us are beginning to wake up to, and they're not giving them much attention as we should. Goddamn, they're still doing the same thing. They're getting on TV set and doing all the vulgar things and still have a cross around their neck. They're proud of their way of life. He's proud of his way of life. And most of them know that we don't be proud. We be humble with our way of life and show them that we are trying to be a servant and not a king or a princess or a queen or a movie star, you know, and duplicating the role of the prophets and messengers of Almighty God Allah and the men and women and children who live in those types of communities of righteousness. So just want to say that it's good to hear you again. It's good to hear us having so much better communication with the technology that we're using. And we pray Allah He will protect this message to conserve and all that He has given us to make it possible. The technology, Amin, you, Akbar, and anyone else who comes in and shares it, keeping us in a state of dhikr. Not a state of taqwa anymore. Taqwa is not safe. Dhikr is safe. And then you have less things to be regardful for because you're on top of it. Everything. In closing, Allah says, remember me in all that you do. Not after you make a mistake or you being in a position where you got to make a choice between should you try to get away with something or should you try to be regardful. Amen. Thank you very much. Good to hear from you, sister. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to hear from you as well, brother. Alaykum as-salam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay. Does anyone else have anything else to say? As I had mentioned before about this particular season that we're going in, it says the Christmas holidays, the fall or the winter season greetings, you know, you could put it any way. And we were taught before that we don't celebrate Christmas, but it doesn't mean that we can't go to our family's home for dinner. You know, sometimes they have brunch, they have dinner. My family is good for that, having brunch and dinner, even though they do have children. Other parts of family have children, and they do buy them gifts, but we don't buy any. They don't expect any from us during this time. And they do know about Eid, you know, because my daughters and my daughter's children and grandchildren, you know, and great-grandchildren as well. So they know about Eid. And they know about Ramadan. So some of the husbands or the in-laws may attempt to give them a little gift and a little toy or a little something, you know, but we always try to fill in where we can get in. We try to fill in where we can get in as far as explaining and during that time, you know, we try to explain it to them then, the reason why they don't have a gift from us, and I think that's okay for us to do that as well.
As-salamu alaykum.
Excuse me. Hold on. Hold on, come on. All right. Yes, alaykum as-salam.
Yes, I have a question. My question is, why, I mean, I just want to know right now, you know, because I knew before, why are they celebrating Christmas? And they know that Jesus wasn't born on that day. So now my question is, why are they celebrating when they know that it's a lie?
That's a good question. And I'll try and answer that the way I see it, the best of my ability and the best of my knowledge. We know how Christmas first started. They were like dancing in the streets and having celebration in the streets. And they weren't in the homes with Christmas trees and dinners and all this sort of thing. It was like a street festival. But then they started doing so many wrong things and so many things that were not allowed and disturbing people until the law was passed that they had their gathering on the inside. And that's when they came about with the Christmas trees and the decorations, you know, and the gifts, when it had first just started out as a street festival, you know. So that's the way that is. And we know about Nimrod as well. He and his mother, who were having an intimate relationship. And when he passed, on his birthday, she planted a tree there on his grave site. And every year on his birthday, she would put lights on that tree when it started to grow, you know, to recognize his birthday, you know. So that started to being chipped in as well to be an important part of Christmas, which was the lights, the Christmas tree lights and all. So there's really, they are confused, yeah, and they don't know really the birthday, like you said, that Jesus was born, you know. But some say September, some say December, some say at other times. But I have not run across anything as yet. And if anybody has, please let us know. If they run across anything that's pertinent, anything that's concrete to say that he was born and, you know, when he was born, it would be very helpful, because this has been something that's going on for years and years and years. Nobody has ever really, to me, well, I haven't pointed out to me the date that Jesus was supposed to have been born. And even though you say some know, but they still celebrate, some, I would say, and give them the benefit of the doubt, those who actually know don't really celebrate. You know, actually know that he was not, or recognize, or could see where he was not born on December the 25th, and how confusing it is, and has not really been discovered or passed, you know, or confirmed, you know, that 25th was it. So they don't really celebrate. They just do, and then they do things as a habit, you know, as just a habit.
Like socializing.
And
like
subliminal
social
seduction as well. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say, Karan?
I was saying, like, they're probably using it now for a way of socializing, getting together,
yeah,
you know, family getting
together. Yeah, they are. Well, then they should go back to the way it was from the very beginning, a festival for them, or a street festival for them.
Because you know what, Sister Daya? Every year, I'm going to cut you off, but I want to say that every time they have all kind of Christmas stories, and the TV come on, it's Jingle Bell and all like that, and you see the Santa Claus. They don't have that anymore. And like she just said, we down here ain't nobody got no, we ain't seen no Christmas lights.
Very few
well,
down here too.
Lights, I like those lights. I like them lights. I buy them all the time.
Now,
I
love lights. Yes.
Yes,
I love lights, and I don't think there are too many people that don't like decorations and nice decorations and beautiful things and lights, especially. You know, it does something to you, your mentality, just bring joy or something like that, you know, with the different color lights and the flashing and all that, but all those other things like Santa Claus and slavery and the slaves.
I guess they have to come up with another lie, because they're losing a lot of money this year, so they have to come up with another one now, because they're losing a lot of money this year.
I don't see
nobody talking about buying no gifts. I didn't see no trees and, you know, and all that. You know, like you see a whole lot of them after New Year on the side of the streets and all that, you know, so. They got to come up with another game.
You're right. Maybe they will, and maybe they won't.
Well, what they did when they came up with the drug, they got that new drug out. They got that new drug out now. So we got to be careful of that. And we got to be careful of those that I love. Oh, I got to get that movie. I got to get that part where Shaka Zulu said, he said, why should I go help the enemies to make them strong to destroy me?
Yep. I saw Shaka Zulu about 3 or 4 times.
The Asalaamu Alaikum was still pumping the drugs up in the neighborhood. And when they put that money in that box at the Mass Jet, they say nothing. That's why they got it. First thing my husband asked me, he said, why they got a drop-in box? I said, that's why. Because they drop all the drug and alcohol money in there, and then when they get it, they're not accountable for it because the bad shit can't accept that kind of money. But if they got it mixed in with the good money, then they don't know. They're not they can't say that, you know, they don't know because they ain't got no name on it. Mm-hmm. But you can smell it. They have an odor.
That must be a loud odor because I don't know who's going to go through the problem.
Well, no, you can go through that because they got too many disease out there now. They got too many disease and stuff out there. People, that might be one of them jailhouse money, so you don't want to mess with that.
It would be a good suggestion, but I don't know who would take the time to worry or try to smell or about the dirt, and you're absolutely right. They put it in there because nobody knows where it came from or who it came from. They call it a static box, isn't it? A static box or is it a Zarkat box? I think it's a Zarkat box they call it. But anyway, they can use it for either one, Statica or Zarkat. And
they be on the front row. I went to their mass here, and they be on the front row making salat.
Well, I haven't paid no attention to that either because I don't know.
Yeah,
I've
been to the mass here, and then they be in our neighborhood, so I know the brothers when I see them, you know. And,
okay. That's good. That's a good conversation to talk about at a different time. We need to have just
good, but I'll let you know they don't have no shame. They'll have no shame.
Oh, no.
So, you know, they don't have no shame. They all right with it.
Okay. Well, what you're saying, they
this is why I
want to
say one more
diet.
You know what? I want to ask you a question.
What you just said.
Okay.
And I need for you to calm down because if you can see, I'm kind of calm. But it won't take but a minute.
I get excited.
I'm on medication. Okay, now, who are you saying that it doesn't matter to? You're saying they're not paying any attention to or something like that, you said?
They know where it comes from, but they just, you know, you said, it's mixed up, so they can't say this come from there and that come from there, so they just don't worry about it.
Okay, I got you.
And that's why they got the drop box. That's why they have a drop box.
Okay.
That's
okay,
one reason.
What other
one reason.
Okay.
That's one reason. That's all. That's one of the reasons.
Okay. What's the other
reason
you want to speak on that?
If you just want to donate, you know, and you don't want to know, you don't have time to go in the office and get a receipt and all that. So you just go ahead and, you know, a law note.
Well, thank you for bringing that out, yes, because it is one of the reasons. That's the main reason that it was put up there, but the other people put it in there for their own reason as well, which may not be. Okay.
But you know what?
And
you
what
might
else
be telling
is that
the
you
truth? You know what? My apologies. You might be telling the truth you might be telling me, Allah forgive me for saying that, because then just like you say, some people don't want receipts, because that's what I know in Los Angeles. That's what it was. Way before the immigrants started coming to the masjid, they had the box, because some people, you know, they don't have time to get a receipt, so they'll just drop the money in there. Sometimes they just, just get that blessing from Allah, because Allah know, you know, like that.
Right.
Alhamdulillah.
Right.
So may Allah forgive me for right. You're right. You know, that's one thing one thing the brother asked me, he said, how did y'all came so successful, you know, and with them for 10 years straight? And I said, the first thing we did was stop gossiping. If it ain't written, and it ain't proof, then don't come to me with that. And then we don't want to hear what nobody else business or something there, what their personal business, what they doing. That's not for us to know. The main thing they say, when Muslims come together, they come together to do right. Alhamdulillah, that's what we're supposed to do. Come together to do right, and that's what we was practicing. Alhamdulillah.
Right, alhamdulillah. Okay. Anything else you want to say, Sister Quran?
That it works.
Or anybody else have anything to say? Want to hear some news about anything else about Gaza or what's on the scenes now? And the COVID, you know, is coming, is back. You know, and they have a new strand. And I'm going to have to, I'm writing something about that. I'm going to have to bring some information on that next when I give. Well, maybe it'd be one of the nights of the brothers on. They may want to know if somebody want to say something. I could interject that then into their comments, you know, and I could make a comment on that because it is important. Because
I have something you could tell your loved one, because I know Muslims, basically, they don't mess with this here, but tell them to stay away from the alcohol and the pork. And alhamdulillah, Allah says, don't eat the pork, and alcohol shouldn't pass your lips. And I remember when the virus was coming out, the first thing they did, they closed down the pork factory, and they took the alcohol off. They took some of the alcohol, not all of it, but they took some of the alcohol off the shelf. They stopped selling it like that same day.
Huh? Who closed down the pork factory? You said. You said they closed down the pork factory.
Yeah, they closed down the factory temporarily. Yeah, the Jews, because they're the one that runs. Ain't that something? They don't eat pork, but they runs the pork factory.
Really? Oh my! Yes. My first time hearing about that one, Saran. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, they were the largest one here in the United States.
Okay.
Check it out. The largest one. Find out who owned the pork factory, the largest pork factory here in the United States. And they throw that meat together. And when they get that meat, from overseas, you know, that's halal. You know, that's halal meat. But when it comes over here, they mix that up with the, it'd be on the same slab that the pork be on. So that means you got pork oil on it.
That's what they say. But what's like
that's
said,
right. That's right. And then when I was dealing trucks, and how I know, because when I was driving trucks, I had to go and deliver, and they had the pork right there along with the beef.
Mm. So that's why we go to these restaurants too that don't serve pork, because we know with the burgers and whatever else that sits on the grills and the pots and things that they cook in would not have had any pork cooked in it prior to them using it. You know, for anything, for what they're fixing now. So that's one of the reasons why we go preferably to our own halal places, you know.
And did you know, I worked, one time I had the opportunity to work in, I think it was McDonald's, yeah. But all families own those McDonald's and Burger Kings and all that. That's the same family. But what it is that, when they make like the hot dogs and stuff like that, and you know they have it up there where you could pick it, you know, when you get it, you know, they pick it and they put it in the bun and all that. Even when they make the buns and all that, did you know that that food only supposed to last out for 2 hours? If they don't sell that in 2 hours, they supposed to dump it.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't know that.
That means, and you know what came to my mind? I said, dang, what kind of chemicals that is that in 2 hours that we can't eat that food. But they don't do it. They don't dump it. Behind them, because I was there. They don't dump all that food.
That's a contradictory point right there. That's a contradictory point right there. Because the one that I had contradicts what it says. It's saying one thing, but it's not, instead it's saying another. You know, because for one thing, from experiment, that burger at McDonald's, if you say that it has been fixed up for somebody to take out or whatever, and if they fix it and nobody buys it in 2 hours, it's supposed to be discarded. They may discard it, but people do eat it. But we did experiment. We were having Eid festivals down here at Branchbrook Park here in Atlanta. And I was over the health and wellness and did area up there. You know, we will respond to emergencies with the children or the older folks or something like that out there in the hot sun during the time of the Eid. And we had a sister that worked with me that bought a burger Sister Daya, we have to announce this. We have to. This is the Whataburger that she had for like 5 years, and it was kept wrapped in the cellophane or something like that, I think it was in. And it was just like, it's just like it was when it was first put on the grill and took off, when it first took off the grill. It still looked the same. So whatever they had in there, I just call it embalming fluid. Whatever they would have had in that burger still looked as if it was healthy enough for somebody to eat or fresh enough for somebody to eat. It was just hard. All they'd do was pop it in the microwave, and it would come back to it's what it's supposed to have been like to put between the bun, hamburger bun, and to sell. That's why I say it's a contradictory. They put some kind of conservative. Go ahead.
I know I'm going to say I bear witness to that because I had bought a burger and I had left it on my bookshelf. I forgot. And then, because I had it in the bag and everything and wrapped up. And then 3 months later, I was looking for something and I said, dang, get this bread around. And it was still good. I mean, it was still
looked like you just bought it, huh?
I wouldn't eat it, but it looked eatable. I'm not lying, so I bear witness to that. I couldn't believe it myself. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, we'd be surprised. That's why all those places, these children, they eat all this stuff, and the parents don't know what's going in these children. And then they say that even the coffee had pork in it, had pork grease or something, and they mix with the water to make the coffee so good at McDonald's.
Everything is stuck. They said that they announced that everything got pork in it, including the coffee. That's what they got it written. They got it written down. They said that.
Okay.
They got it written down. Yeah.
Okay. So that's including, not excluding, but including the coffee.
They say everything
has pork in it.
Mayonnaise and all that. Everything got pork in it.
Yeah, okay.
That's what they say. Everything got pork. Everything in McDonald's got pork in it. If you could eat it, got pork in it.
See, I knew something about McDonald's. I didn't know. Even the coffee. And I got that one time that they used to have called the frappe. They have the coffee mocha. I had the mocha or something like that. The McDonald's used to stick. Yeah, but anyway, it was good. You know, it had ice. It was like a iced coffee, and it had some kind of cream of whipped cream or something like that on top of it, and had ice in it, and it was sweet and everything, but it was good. It was refreshing.
Alhamdulillah.
At that time, but then I didn't get no more after that. Because it made my stomach hurt, and I just felt it was too sweet.
I was reading, and that Muslims only supposed to eat halal food, and they don't supposed to eat behind disbelievers. You don't supposed to eat behind. They handle their food wrong. They don't handle their food the same that you. Certain things you don't say and do when you are cooking food, and they do those things that you don't supposed to do.
Yeah, like we say, when we cook any food with bismillah, and who said, amen, says, be careful, brothers, how y'all talk to the sisters, because you don't want to stop food, you fix your egg, you still turned up, but you won't say bismillah no more. You know, you preach up to just flip it over. But we, everything, frying chicken, fixing food, it's our bismillah food.
And every time you lay something down, like your fork, and you get ready to stir your food, you're supposed to, like a fork or spoon, you're supposed to rinse that off. Did you know that if you take I forgot what that was in nursing school, but where you can learn about all these different one-cell animals and all this stuff like that, and bacteria and all that, you'd be surprised. That's biology. That's biology.
Biology,
that's
yeah.
biology.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and
anatomy.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many bacteria is on your table. As soon as you let something touch it, them bacteria runs to get on it just that quick.
Yeah, they do. They don't waste no time. That's for sure.
That's why you have to be careful about what you when you place something on the table, your fork or your spoon, and you don't rinse it off. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
important.
That's how a lot of people pass. You know, well, a lot of people died in my hometown, Nashville, Tennessee, when they went to one of these service stations who sell sodas and drinks. It's got tops on them. You know, and like a can of a Pepsi or can of soda, something like that. And they said that it had been out there, you know, how they buy up stock and they put it in the back. And then when they went out, they go back there and get it, you know, and just put it on the shelf. They said they knew, this particular one person said they knew that the stock had been back there for a while, but it was still up to date. They did not expire yet, you know. So they just rinsed it off on top, you know, and then they put it in the shelf. They rinsed it off, but they didn't wipe it off after they had rinsed it. And the feces was still on there from mice, you know, and rodents that they had in the back. And a few people had died. And that's when they found out what was going on. And that's what happened because of their death, because of the rodents' drippings and all that kind of stuff. And they rinsed it off, but they didn't take a paper towel to wipe it after they rinsed it. And the water was still on, and so it was still on top of it, on top of the cans, you know. So you have to be extra careful too with food. Well, people should be careful. They don't eat with the food. They put just anything in their mouth. I don't understand that. I mean, you have to be just careful, and more careful now than probably before.
Anytime you could tell your family members. And they be out there and they be talking about, like, they have, like, blood clots and all that stuff like that. Tell them take apple cider vinegar, take that apple cider vinegar and some water and apple cider vinegar and that olive oil. See, the apple cider vinegar, what it does, it's gonna help, so that those blood clots, it's going to help. They loosen that
because
up where your blood, where your blood can flow, where your blood can have an easy flow, and the olive oil, what it does, is going to do, it's going to lubricate your, it's going to lubricate your bones and your tissues and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
your organs, it'll lubricate your organs. And so, like if you
mm-hmm.
have bacteria, it kind of like easily slide off of there, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important with that olive oil and the. And then plus if you have any kind of rods or something like that, like my daughter, she have like a hip thing in her hips, and I told her, I said, you have to take olive oil like and a little apple cider vinegar, just like you taking medicine every day as long as you have that rod there. Now that olive oil gonna help heal that tissue. It's gonna heal that tissue. And you don't know, it might get heal that tissue where it'll push that rod out. And you could already have the doctor, Michael, you know, it might just heal it up. But anyway, it'll stop from get infection. And then a lot of times, that's why a lot of times people, they have those rods and things in their legs, they have to get their legs cut off. But if they had continued to take that olive oil, that had kept that tissue from being infected, you know, by that rod like that. That's what it does. It keeps it from being affected where you could just, you know, just live normal and won't know it. And then also it'll reduce the pain. It also, that olive
because
oil.
Because it keeps it lubricated. Yeah,
right,
it
right.
Keep
it reduces
lubricated.
The pain. That's
uh-huh.
very, that's
how,
very important.
That's one of the
no, go ahead.
I was going to say that's one of the reasons why our grandparents used to give us hot liver oil. In the wintertime, they help keep it lubricated inside and keep the lungs cleaned off and everything too, you know.
That's right.
Cuddly boy.
That's right. That's what that's going to do with it.
Yeah, a lot of our old remedies work, but young people nowadays don't take time to pay attention to that. You can get back to Eden book and find out a whole lot of things, that book, you know, and read a lot of things in there that helps a person health-wise.
You know what?
They don't want to read.
In the South, that would be because we couldn't even go, like the hospitals were like almost, we could walk to the hospital from here, from where I live at, but during that time, we couldn't even go to the hospital. We had to go all 80 miles all the way to New Orleans. Like, that's why we had midwives, because all the babies, like, I was born in New Orleans, but I got some brothers and sisters that was born right here in the back room of the house, you know, like that, because they couldn't afford to go. They couldn't make it there in time, so they had a midwife to come, you know. They had a lot of midwives here. Because we couldn't afford to go to, and then we couldn't afford to get sick because we couldn't go to no. We had one doctor. We couldn't afford to get sick.
Yeah, my oldest granddaughter was born by midwife too, right here. Well, at Meharry Medical Hospital, the same place I was born in Nashville, Tennessee. You know, Hubbard Hospital, Hubbard Meharry. It's Fitz University. You know, they turned out a lot of good doctors and nurses there. They had nurses quarters there. And the doctors, intern, all their quarters there. And they had a lot of midwives there as well. And she's 56 now.
But let me show how much knowledge we didn't have. I did not know that Atlanta had one of the largest slave trade was right there, and plantation right there in Atlanta, Georgia. I did not know that.
Ma'am.
Because in Louisiana, let me tell you, because in Louisiana, two people, when we finished high school, two things I heard people say, we're gonna go to California or go to Atlanta. And I always wonder, why they want to go to Atlanta, Georgia? That's so close to Louisiana. That's still south. I could never understand why. But now I understand why, you know, because of the and then they said a lot of movie stars had houses and stuff around in that area. Now I understand why.
Yeah, they still do. Yeah, they still do. Yeah, and then the brother from CARE, CAIR, the Muslim brother, that's the lawyer for CARE, CAIR. He young Muslim brother. Yeah, he is fighting now for the African slave. Not African slave, but the place that's known here, this is Gigi Gully people, the properties out there that the people are trying to take from them and make it into not a resort, but a site for travelers, you know, as a historical site. That's what I'm trying to think of, trying to make it a historical site for travelers. Now, this is a place where the Africans were brought from over here. They had been enslaved. This right here in Georgia. They had been enslaved, and they settled on a piece of land there, and they called the Geechee Gullah people, which my grandfather was, my father's father was. And it was like from 12 families. Now it's down to like 3 families because all of them have been going into other things or wanting to see other parts of life, you know what I'm saying, other places in life, no longer in Africa and no longer on a slave trade thing. So there are 3 families now, and now they're trying to run those 3 families out of their homes and off of their property now, because they have been the only ones who ever did anything to try to keep that land up. They pay for their own garbage that being took away. They pay for their own tilting of the land and growing of the crops and all this sort of stuff. And then they're trying to take their land away from those people, just for 3 families.
On what ground?
On what ground? Because they want to take it. That's on what ground? Because they feel like
I'm just saying, for them to be able to take it, they have to say, you know, like, they didn't pay taxes.
But they know whatever the procedure
so somebody
is.
Didn't
I don't
do
really
this,
know.
You know, like that.
I don't know. Yeah, but they paid for their own garbage disposal to be picked up. They don't have nobody come pick up the garbage for them. They pay their own electricity. The 3 families is holding that property there and taking, like I just said, they're taking and supplying their needs and taking care of it themselves from farming and whatever else, you know. But now they see that it's so nice and been well kept, and now the Caucasians trying to take it away from them. Just take it. And because they're holding meetings, but they have a ferry, like they go from where they are, where they're located, those 3 families are located, their property, over to the area each day. You have to take the ferry to go to work in the area that they're going to work in.
okay, and then have to take the ferry back a certain time of the evening because it's the only transportation they have. And they have these meetings before these families come back from their jobs, like in town or whatever. So they hold these meetings and say what they're going to say and agree on what they're going to agree on without with, and don't include the three families because they are in a city working somewhere.
Oh, talking about the Caucasians, they be having a private meeting?
Yeah, Caucasians and whoever else be mixed with them,
yeah,
but not except for the three families.
Out, yeah.
They don't even have it. The three families don't know when they...
Well, only thing people have to remember about real estate is that anytime it's done illegal, you have the right to get it back, and that's a federal law. Anytime real estate
well,
is done illegal,
that's what the brothers
you have the right
for.
To get it back,
see,
and then no
the
one can just come and
know.
Take it. Huh?
The three families don't know, but the brother that works with CAIR, C-A-I-R, who knows, who fights for Muslim, you know, he's a lawyer, Muslim lawyer, he knows. So that's why he's helping them to reserve their land and not have it being took away from them.
Right. And the only way they can take it away from them is if they stop paying taxes. If they having tax problems, that's the only way they can stop. We know that, but they don't.
And they do pay taxes. Otherwise, they'd have been gone. They've been there ever since slave trade, I'm telling you. And they've been there all this time. It was 12 families, and now it's only three families.
How many acres?
Just because I don't know how many acres it is. I don't know all the necessities about how big the land is and you know, the acres or the wide, the width or the length or all that. I don't know that, you know. But I did see a picture not too long ago on how they were living, and the three of those families are the ones who are helping to maintain and help each other and to reserve that land there and paying for things in their land there because they can work in the city during the day. You know, the ferry takes them, picks them up there, takes them to the city, and the ferry brings them back. Huh?
Yeah, they're going to have a problem. Anytime they stand on, if they stand on their land, then they have homestead exemption rights. They have rights. Dealing with
the brother knows that. See, the brother's working with
them
knows that.
That's why they got the attorney. They got it. They got it then. He got it all then. You're right.
Yeah, he knows it. Yeah, he's got it all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working on
it.
He had a petition, too, to be signed on it, you know, to be signed about that. So a lot of people didn't know about it. So when he put it out there, by him being a Muslim advocate, you know, and taking care of it for them, then it's quite natural he would let people know about what's going on with them. So we had a petition. And everybody had to sign for that, for him to work with them and to get their land, help to keep their land for them. And it's been on the TV for I don't know how many years that they have took so much of the land from them already. But when the other people moved out, they took so much of the land. But these
How did they take that?
I don't know. I don't even know. But they said they had took so much land from them that when the other people moved out, so I guess it was just left there unattended or whatever. But these three families that are still there, they attended to theirs, and that's what they're trying to, and they're just trying to take it from them. And not only do they attend to theirs, they attended to the other parts of the land that people just walked away from, some of that too. I used to call in and talk to him. And a lady would tip of me, and when I come on, she'd say, "Here's my sister, here's my sister. She said, "What part of, what's she saying, South Kakalaki and North Kakalaki to my Carolina. South Carolina and North Carolina. South Kakalaki and North Kakalaki." She took me on, I used to laugh at her. Yeah. She said, "Yes." Oh, wow. That time flew. It looks like I see somebody on here, 914. It looks familiar to me, but I don't actually remember. Now, if you want to contribute or say anything, please push 1 on your phone receiver, and you can be brought into the queue, and you can be allowed to say what you want to say or contribute what you want to contribute. Please. If you like input, We like to hear what other people have to say. And we have 60 seconds to go before the 9 o'clock, and it will be over. So by all means, put your hand up, and then you will be brought into the queue. Would you like to say something and just can't push the button, the one on your receiver? Because a lot of times we do have problems with that as well, with the system, that you won't, people will be pushing one on their phone receiver, but the hand won't fly up for them to be noticed. It's on a screen that only I can see. If you have anything to say, feel free to say it now. 914 area code. But if you don't and would rather listen, then that's good too. That's good too. Welcome. You come back again. Okay. Akbar, you want to close us out? Well, if he doesn't, who else is going to want to close us out?
Alhamdulillah.
Huh? Did you say Akbar? Sorry that maybe everybody didn't hear it plain, but the phone was cracking up or something like that. It was skipping and missing. So I'm sorry if you didn't hear it all, the prayer. Well, until next time, tomorrow night is Wednesday, and the brothers will be on from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. with a message of concern. Sisters won't be on. Tonight was a sisters' night, Tuesday nights and Sunday nights from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. So we do work together. Sisters will be on when the brothers are on. The brothers will be on when the sisters are on. So welcome. Okay. Assalamu alaikum.